Welcome to the Science and Spirituality Podcast, where we dive deep into universal spiritual principles and ground them in modern science. My name is Chris Carton.
And my name is Kevin Carton, and we are committed to simplifying the spiritual side of success for you with easy-to-understand scientific research so you can walk away with practical tools to create radical transformations in your life. Let's get started. Welcome to the Science and Spirituality Podcast. Kevin here with my broha, Chris. And we're going to this is a follow-up episode to the last episode where we dove into the secrets to shifting your state when you're feeling hopeless or in a rut. That was episode 172. And it actually naturally flowed into us talking about the body-mind connection and how powerful that is. I mean, it's been scientifically proven now and studied and at depth for decades now. But still, it's funny that not a lot of people really know it. I think it's gaining more understanding or like in the mind of like, oh yeah, mind-body connection. Like I know what that means, but I think there's a whole like just infinite space of like actually starting to live more in alignment with that and working with your body-mind connection so that you can shift your state. So we're going to get into that, more of the science and the spirit about that.
Yeah. And I wanted to say right off the bat that even if you didn't listen to last week's episode, because I know we prefaced this as a follow-up, right, you're not going to be lost, because I feel like the answers that we gave to how to move yourself out of a rut from last episode just led us into talking about shifting your state. Yeah, exactly. So you don't have to listen to the last episode, but if you have
help.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to start this episode by like just again reiterating the simple fact that most of the information in the body is actually flowing from the body up to the brain, not from the brain.
Say more about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Not to the brain, down to the body. So like about 90% of the information that the information flow in your body is going from down to up. So like below the neck up to the brain. And so that's like, you know, from mostly from your nervous system, but from like your enteric nervous system, like your stomach, like gut feelings, like your heart has an intrinsic nervous system, like just all the information that your body is getting from the outside world and from how much you move it and from what you're feeding it, all of that is synthesized and then sent up to the brain, and it influences how you feel and what you think about and how you perceive your environment. And when we talk about the body-mind connection, I feel like a lot of people are starting to understand like, hey, like how I think affects how I feel. And I feel like we're almost overlooking how much the information flow is actually going the other way, mm-hmm. like from the body up to the mind. So just understanding that simple fact that like 90% of the information flow in your body is going from the body up to the brain, and only 10% is going from the brain down to the body. So it kind of gives you the, like, you can kind of like infer that it's like, all right, so who's actually in control? Like what part of is actually in control? And I think what we're going to get into in this podcast is that there's things that you can do from a physiological perspective that can have radical changes on how you feel mentally, how you perceive the world, and how you think.
Definitely. Yo, what's the, because I know just a general idea, but I think you have more specific knowledge on this about how it does affect our perception. Because the perception really is, it's a function of the mind, of our brain, and like how we perceive the world, like what we think about ourselves, our circumstance, our life, all those things, or even like challenges when they arise in our reality, then because I know you know more deeply, like, so how does that, like the body, like the feelings, or like that 90% of information going up to the brain, like mm-hmm. how that affects perception? Like, can you share a bit on that really quickly?
So I think the area that I would focus on when we're going to dive into that is the heart and like our emotional system and our emotional feelings. Because the heart is one of the main senders of information up to the brain. Like a lot of the information from the body is synthesized in the heart and sent up to the brain. And so the way that we feel from an emotional level, the heart projects specific parts of the nervous system up to parts of the brain that are responsible for our awareness and what we tend to focus on in our environment. So like if you're feeling stress in the body and you have that kind of sinking feeling in your heart that like, oh, I'm scared, or like something's up, or like something's wrong, like that's going to send a signal up to your brain to be more vigilant and hypervigilant in your environment. So if you're feeling that way in the body, you can perceive something in the environment as threatening when it isn't really as threatening as it should be. And right. So there's like simple techniques that you can use to shift your emotional state, which is felt really in the body, And then that in turn will send different signals up to the brain and you'll perceive the world around you differently. And so the heart's kind of like that main sender, but you can really like get nitty gritty and go into a lot of things like what you're eating, like, you know, right, how you're moving, like all of those things are going to send those different signals. And because of where the projections from the body go up to the brain, it influences like really how you're perceiving the environment.
Right.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Like, cause yeah, I knew like a basic understanding of that. There's no way I could have said everything you just shared because I know you studied like the heart and like through Heart Math Institute and all of that. But yeah, it's crazy how it really does shift or change our perception, but from the body up, it's not just you changing your perception and thinking differently about it, but it's like literally the way you emotion, like regulate your emotions or move your body. Like you said, like that it's actually changing then perception about what's going on. Like, I think it's like a simple example of like, if let's say I don't know, like there's a challenge at work, like your boss or like there's a project that it seems stressful and your perception up until this point, then it's like, oh, I can't handle this or this is overwhelming. Then working with what we'll talk about, so like some action steps or some simple things you can do to regulate the body or work with the body to shift the state, the energetic or the emotional state, then you could probably perceive it differently. Like, hey, you know what? It is challenging, but I could do this.
Yeah.
I may not know the way forward, but maybe I can ask for some help as well. And, you know, collaborate with others or ask questions. And then I can do this for whatever it is, whatever challenge it is at work. So that's just what I'm thinking is like, it could really mean a big difference in your day-to-day life when you work on shifting your state from the body up to the mind.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people can probably really like resonate with this idea about, I feel like we've all been in situations where we've been super stressed out and it almost feels like the feeling is in your heart and in your body and it's like stuck there.
Sure.
Right. And it's like, the more you think about it, like the more you try to think out of it, you can't, because there's something like in the body that's like not moving. And there's something in the body that's keeping you in this like state. So it's like, you can have maybe a couple thoughts that are in a different train of thought, but you're almost like pulled back by this gravitational pull to like that emotional feeling that you have in your body. Mm-hmm. And so like when we're talking about working with the body to influence the mind, we're talking about going straight to the body. And in this specific instance, like the heart, and shifting the way that your body feels so that it's easier to shift into a different state of mind. Because again, because of that information flow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you hit the nail on the head there with like stress. It's like, when you're feeling stressed about something, you're not going to have the best a chance to get out of that stress or the best chance to deal with it if you're in that fight or flight state, because you're going to be looking to escape. You're not going to be looking to collaborate and like connect with others. Mm-hmm. And so shifting out of that can actually give you different ideas about what to do.
Definitely. You know, before we also go into those steps of like what like actionable things you can do, I want to say as well that like with, because I know we've been talking about, I brought up the example of like a challenge or stress or whatever. But I think it also, it's a whole spectrum. And I don't know if there's an end to this spectrum. It's potentially infinite of our potential for growth in terms of how we use our human system that we call our body, our mind, our thoughts, all of that to expand or to grow or to be more and access more of the greater potential we have. I think that's why we're here. Mm. That's why we've incarnated into human experience. We are a soul. And we are in this human experience, like we are animating this body. We are giving life to this human earth suit, we can call it. And that right there, I think is part of the reasons why we go through certain challenges so that we can learn how to tap more within to that inner power to overcome those challenges. But I think it's also on the other end of like actually just expanding in greater feeling of happiness, of love, of joy, fulfillment, love. Did I say that already?
I don't think so.
Then it's worth saying twice. But,
double, yeah.
But still, like that, we're meant to be here to expand, and so it's not just for like regulating and feeling better and like, all right, I'm okay now. But when you're even okay, it's actually to expand and feel even better.
Mm.
And that I think is why we're here. It's what spirit wants. Life itself wants with us just to continuously expand. Like I think of even just like down to like smaller parts of matter or of life, like plants. Plants always are wanting to grow. And yes, there are seasons, of course, of when it's more conducive for its growth, like the spring, but still, it's always for growth. mm-hmm. as long as it's living. So we always want to grow. So it's not just like mitigating or, you know, having a getting back to like a status quo or a normal when in challenging situations, but it's for us to truly grow and to expand into our full potential.
Yeah.
So I think it's important for us to learn these kind of skills, because then that allows more life, more of our own soul or spirit to be fully expressed in this time and space, in physical reality, instead of it just being as philosophy or something that just sounds nice, like, oh, cool. Yeah. Like, and getting lit up or inspired about that for a day, but then not actually having that really impact your everyday life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dude, the plant example was good, because in my head, I was thinking about like, if you're looking at a plant and like the plant growing, that's like your consciousness and like your ability to like to grow and to see new possibilities for yourself. And like the pot is like your body and that ability to like control, the ability to like handle the emotions that are flowing through it. And we all need bigger pots at certain points. And I feel like learning these techniques is what's gonna like get you a bigger pot so that you can continue to grow and get more like deeper roots.
Right.
And I think like a big thing about working through the body is that emotional regulation piece. Cause again, dude, like, I mean, you've experienced this, I bet, in your journey of becoming a life coach and throughout your coaching company. It's like learning how to deal with bigger and more powerful emotions and how to actually deal with that as you grow and become, you know, the person that you're meant to be. It's like, you need to have that capacity.
Yeah.
To grow that. And that's through the body, like working with that.
100%.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So let's get into it. Let's get some action steps, because we could talk all day about like how cool it is and how it's useful, but what would you, cause I got some ideas of like some action steps or things that you can do. And some actually, I literally was doing yesterday, but I'll share after you share. Cause I think you got some.
Well, I think like for me, the number one thing is, and it sounds like super simple, but it's the breath.
Mm.
Like, I feel like that is like one of the easiest ways to access your body is to slow down and actually focus on your breath. And because that's a direct connection right into your nervous system, like the state of your breath, like whether it's shallow, whether it's fast, like whether it's deep, like that actually shows you which state of the nervous system you're in, sympathetic, which is fight or flight, or parasympathetic, which is the rest and digest, and where you can have more creative and more expansive emotions. And so if you're, you know, really stressed at work, or if you're finding yourself in some kind of like situation where you feel overwhelmed, take a second to notice your breathing pattern and then consciously choose to change your breathing pattern to something more slow and controlled and deeper, like get really into your belly when you're taking deep breaths. And just a note on the deep belly breathing is that when you're taking deep belly breaths, you're actually activating this nerve called the vagus nerve, which is the biggest parasympathetic nerve in the body. And so you're actually telling your body, giving it signals that you're safe and to slow down. And that translates up again, because of what we said in the beginning about the information flow, that translates up into your brain, into your perception, into how you view the world around you. So that would be like my first step that I think is so simple because you can do it anywhere.
Right.
You could be laying down. You could be at your desk at work. You could be outside walking. You could be in the car in traffic. Anywhere you can slow down and start to focus on your breath.
Even in conversation too.
True.
Like literally there are times I'm on coaching calls with my clients and I'm listening to certain stories that they're sharing. And in order to stay more present, instead of getting sucked into their story so I can actually help them, I will literally slow down my breath without them even knowing. I don't have to share what I'm doing. It's just consciously in my head. Okay. Deeper inhales, feeling it in the belly, slow exhales out through the mouth. That's at least what I do. I know there's many different forms of quote unquote breath work, but that one's extremely helpful.
Yeah.
And it's not even like I was stressed, you know, I'm not stressed in that situation. But again, what I was sharing, like expanding capacity, expanding level of energy or consciousness moving through my system.
And in your situation, it's probably also expanding your ability to hold space for the person you're with talking, you know? And another cool thing about the breath as well is, especially if you're in a situation where you're feeling very overwhelmed and you can't slow your thoughts down, you can actually focus on your breathing and that actually could clear your mind a little bit.
Yeah.
You're not thinking over and over again about what you're doing. Yeah. And again, it's if you listen to all of our advice and you understand that it's from working with the body to influence the mind, it's okay that you're not thinking about anything because you're working with the body. Like that's okay. It's normal because that's going to have those effects to actually help your perception and help how you're viewing the situation.
Exactly. There's Another, at least a technique that I couple with breathing, if I notice like my mind is like really racing, like it was for me last night. And I took a hot bath, and as I was doing a different exercise as well, which I'll share in a second, I was focusing my breath. And then I noticed my mind like going toward work, and it was Sunday. So I didn't want to think about work. I was like, well, all right, let me shift my attention. And then when I was focusing on my breath, still the thoughts were flying through. And I imagined that they were like either like clouds in the sky, and I just watched them pass by, not attaching to the thoughts. Or you could use a good image is leaves that are flowing on the top of a river, that those thoughts are like those leaves just like flowing on by, but you're not attaching to them. You're not trying to grab onto them. So it's like, oh, it's okay that they're there, but you're just letting them pass by as you're then coming back to your breath.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good technique. Before we move on from the breath, because I don't know if you're going to bring up another
whole I have one topic. More.
Okay. Yeah. Another thing that you can add to the breath as like a second layer is to start focusing on your heart as you're breathing, and to do your best to generate a positive, uplifting emotion, whether it's for yourself or for someone else, like a pet, like a loving emotion, because it's been studied that generating positive emotions like appreciation, gratitude, love, it actually has been shown to change the rhythm that your heart is beating at. And the heartbeat rhythm actually sends information up to the brain about how you're going to be perceiving your environment. So thinking about positive, uplifting things, gratitude, someone you love or a pet, like really generating those emotions from the heart, that's a really great extra step to add on to the breathing.
Nice. It's almost kind of like a meditation in a way. Like if you do have the space to do that, then like the heart, like just focusing on the heart and doing that.
Yeah.
You could form kind of like a meditation out of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sweet. And this one, I get technically this other one, you could add to all the things we're sharing. Like you can do this all together. Like last night, I completely forgot about actually focusing on the heart and generating positive emotion. Cause I know that that's one that you recommend or you've practiced before, but, the one other technique I've used is called legs up the wall.
Okay.
This is it's working with your body. Mm-hmm. And, this has also been well studied that if you put yourself in this physical posture, this position, it's actually many times in certain yin yoga classes, you'll find this posture. But simply what you do is you put your feet up a wall. So like you're lying on your back on the floor and you literally bring your feet, like your heels, like up against the wall. And so like your bottom is quite close to the point where the wall meets the floor. But only to a point where you feel comfortable, because you don't want to like extend your legs too much. Like you can have a slight bend in your knees, but as you put your feet up against the wall, literally, I mean, this first and foremost helps blood circulation coming from your feet, your calves, your shins, your thighs, all that up to your heart. Instead of it being needed to like pump the blood all the way up. Cause usually if we're sitting or standing, then the blood needs to be brought up. That's going against gravity. Mm-hmm. So when you help in that way, it's a great signal to your parasympathetic nervous system. And in fact, I've heard one of my coaches, who's a master coach with our mentor's company, her name is Kirsten Wells. She has 20 plus years in energy medicine, is a fellow at Harvard University. And she'd said that she shared that it's been studied that that's like one of the primary ways to activate the vagus nerve as well. Like activate the, maybe it's not the vagus nerve, but it's definitely the activating the parasympathetic nervous system in the most like a strong way besides the breath. So if breath is not working, then like put your legs up the wall for 5 or 10 minutes and it makes a massive difference.
Yeah. I was wondering also too, is if that's like, it's almost like not tricking your body, but when the parasympathetic nervous system is activated, your blood is like shunted away from your digestive system and like other major organs. And it's put out to the major organs of the limbs to be able to run. And so
you're talking about the sympathetic,
the fight sympathetic, or flight. Like when, fight or flight. Exactly. It shuts off digestion. Like it shuts off the nervous system, not the nervous system, the immune system. So it's like, it really just redirects all of your energy towards like fighting and stuff. Yep. And like, again, evolutionarily that makes sense when we used to have to fight bears and run away from lions. But now it's like, when that's activated, when you're in the office, it's just not good.
Right.
But I'm thinking about lying up with the wall like that. It's the blood's returning from the legs back into the abdomen. It's probably telling your body, oh, the danger's gone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're safe.
Yeah.
She said, Kirsten Wells also said that it's the position too. It's like the most vulnerable position that a human can be in as well. So like you being in that position, and it's a subconscious way of telling your body you're safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Julie does that all the time.
Nice.
That's my awesome. Girlfriend. Yeah. She, for people who don't know, but she does it all the time. That technique, like laying up against the wall.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What I was saying is like, that's also what I did in the bath. Like,
oh, nice,
I had some dead sea salts in the bath too. So like I was able to like, kind of like float in a way. Float, so yeah, my back wasn't like entirely against like, you know, the bathtub like bottom, but like I was able to like, yeah, have my legs up the wall while being in the bath. It was really good.
Nice. Did you have anything else to add to that or?
No, that's it. It's okay. Pretty straightforward with that technique or support.
And then the next tip that I would have is like just general movement of any kind. Like if you're feeling stuck and you're like in a position where you're like, I've been feeling this way for a while. And like, I've been sitting like here for a while. And like, I don't know what to do. Get outside, get some fresh air, like actually walk. And talking about like the blood and the circulation of blood, like walking and exercising, that's what it does. Like it circulates the blood around, it gets things moving. And if you're doing any type of exercise, like could be walking too, or like any like weightlifting or any running, it actually releases beta endorphins, which make you feel happy and reduce pain. So it's like the body almost responds to like that movement as like, hey, we're doing something, like
let's be good.
Yeah, exactly. And it, you know, those beta endorphins make their way through the bloodstream and up to the brain, and you start to feel better. You really do. And you really have to try these things in order to really see the benefits. Right. And another great one's yoga. Like, cause again, you're putting yourself in positions where you have to hold positions that you're not usually used to for a little bit longer than is comfortable. And that also like starts to expand your nervous system to like different positions. And when you expand your nervous system from a physical perspective, you're expanding it from a mental perspective. Like, I think that's like another whole point of this episode is that these things work in tandem.
Right.
Like when you're exposed to new ideas, you're expanding your nervous system and your capacity mentally, and that expands it physically. And it's the same the other way around, and perhaps even more powerful.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
A lot of simple things. And I think the crazy thing is like, I know the times when I'm like not feeling that great, like the last thing I want to do, but anytime I have done it, it like of shifting the body first, it helps immensely. So it's just like the willingness to actually just do it, even though a part of you like may not feel it, or like part of you may be thinking like, oh, this is silly. Like it's not going to work, or, oh, I've tried this before, or just any of those thoughts, like just be willing to overcome them and just try it out, like for the sake of yourself and how you feel.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, if you're listening to an episode for 30 minutes, 20, 25 minutes, that's a willingness to transform and change your life and expand. So there's got to be a willingness that you have within to try these things out.
I was going to say, in the next episode you listen to, take a walk while you're listening to it.
Yeah. Or maybe imagine if someone's listening, like, oh my gosh, I'm taking a walk right now.
It's great.
Probably. Cause I know one of our listeners, Lauren, who's also one of my clients, hey Lauren, if you are listening to this one, she often walks her dog and listens to our episodes.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Perfect. Yeah. All right. I think that's enough for me. Again, like making it actionable, super simple.
Yeah.
But very, very powerful. So go ahead and try these things out.
Yeah, definitely. And let us know if they work, and send to our Instagram page or however else you guys stay in contact with us.
Which is not much, but Instagram. We'll put our @s, like our Instagram tags, in the description of this episode.
Sweet.
All right, everyone. Have a great day. Enjoy moving your body, and we'll talk soon.
And that's it for today. So thanks for tuning in. We really hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. So any questions, any comments, connect with us on Instagram personally at Kevin F. Carton
or at Chris J. Carton, or our podcast or Instagram page at Science and Spirituality Podcast. And if you feel guided to, the one thing that we do ask is for you to please rate the podcast and also leave a review. This way we can reach more people, and in that way impact more lives. So with that, we'll see you on the next episode.